So good morning. So I'd like to talk about the practice of beginning anew this morning. Some of people in our community are studying the precepts for Jukai, for the it's kind of like a lay ordination type ceremony where they will sew a small robe, raksu, which you see some people wearing. It looks a little like a bib. And they'll formally receive the precepts, which are the guidelines for ethical living. And I know that a few weeks ago when Ken gave the Dharma talk, he talked about right speech, or one of the speech precepts. And I, even though he did, I would like to also talk about that, and that's why the beginning anew, which is I'll say what that practice is, but I'll just say I've been really thinking about the practice of right speech, or kind speech, or ethical speech. And for this month, so another thing you should know, in case you're not aware, every month now, on the last Sunday of the month, we do a precepts reflection ceremony. So I really encourage everyone to come. It's right after the Sunday service, usually starting around 10 to 11 or 11. We give people a chance to have some tea and use the bathroom and then come back in here. And it's short. It's about 30 minutes. And it's a review of the precepts. So even if you don't know anything about the precepts, you can listen to them and take them in and reflect on how you might practice with them. So we've been doing that once a month for quite a while. And I usually, one of the things that's a takeaway is something that you'd like to practice with for the coming month. So for me, for this month, I decided that I really wanted to work on speech. And I made up a little gatha, or a little poem or prayer, to use while I'm brushing my teeth, to remind me for practicing right speech. And this prayer is kind of a hybrid of a traditional prayer taught by Katagiri Roshi in our lineage and in Thich Nhat Hanh's lineage, what they do for the teeth brushing. So what I'm saying, when I remember to do it, is brushing my teeth this morning, or this evening, brushing my teeth this morning, I vow with all beings to speak purely and lovingly, using words that inspire confidence, joy, and hope. So I'll say that one more time. Brushing my teeth this morning, I vow with all beings to speak purely and lovingly, using words that inspire confidence, joy, and hope. So I say this, I vow with all beings, even though I could say, well, I'm not really sure if all beings are vowing to do this at the same time. But really what I'm doing is, by saying that, is I'm acknowledging I can't do this by myself. I have to vow with all beings. I have to be supported by all beings, whether they know they're supporting me or not. I'm calling on all beings to be with me and help me with this. And I'm finding it to be, so it's early in the month, haven't done it that much, but I have done a toothbrushing one, but usually that was more around wisdom, the eye teeth of wisdom. That's from our lineage. I vow to develop the eye teeth of wisdom, which is kind of fun. But I'm finding it to be really interesting as I'm cleaning my mouth to think about clean and pure speech coming from my mouth. So the Buddha gave us a lot of precepts that have to do with right speech. So when we have there's the 16 bodhisattva precepts, which are the three refuges, the three pure precepts, and then the 10 grave precepts or essential precepts, which are kind of like the 10 commandments, but not exactly, because they're not really commandments. They're more like, how do I enter into this way of being? Anyway, of those 10, 4 of them have to do with speech. So that's pretty interesting. So the 4 that have to do with speech are not speaking falsely, not talking about others' errors and faults. So that's maybe a challenging one for you know, in the political discourse. Think about that. Not talking about others' errors and faults. I have to say, though, it's also, the next one is, the long version is, speaking what I perceive to be the truth without guilt or blame. So sometimes you have to say something. But can we talk about it? Can we say it in a way where it's not just about talking about others' errors and faults? And so this speaking what I perceive to be the truth without guilt or blame, the next line is, I take up the way of not elevating oneself and blaming others. So not speaking in a way that I'm better and someone else is down here. And then the fourth one is not indulging in anger. So because, I mean, of course, that can have to do with actions of the body, not just of the words, but a lot of times how we express anger is through words. So being careful with that. And I like the, some of the translations say not being angry or not becoming angry. It's pretty hard. Anger arises endlessly, we say that. So I really like the translation of to say not indulging in it. It comes up, but then do I do things that cultivate it and kind of keep it cooking, or do I do things that help to let it go? So those are the precepts around speech in our lineage. In Thich Nhat Hanh's lineage, they have a different way of expressing the precepts. Instead of the 16 bodhisattva precepts, they have the 5 mindfulness trainings, and that's what everyone, you know, kind of at the level of Jukai or the, you know, the general community takes. And then for those who are becoming teachers, they have extra ones, extra trainings. I think there's like 14 or something. Anyway, I'd like you to read, I'd like to read to you the mindfulness training on speech. It's called Loving Speech and Deep Listening. Some of you are familiar with this. It's kind of long, so you can just listen. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I am committed to cultivating loving speech and compassionate listening in order to relieve suffering and to promote reconciliation and peace in myself and among other people, ethnic and religious groups, and nations. Knowing that words can create happiness or suffering, I am committed to speaking truthfully, using words that inspire confidence, joy, and hope. That's from my prayer. When anger is manifesting in me, I am determined not to speak. I will practice mindful breathing and walking in order to recognize and to look deeply into my anger. I know that the roots of anger can be found in my wrong perceptions and lack of understanding of the suffering in myself and in the other person. I will speak and listen in a way that can help myself and the other person to transform suffering and see the way out of difficult situations. I am determined not to spread news that I do not know to be certain and not to utter words that can cause division or discord. I will practice right diligence to nourish my capacity for understanding, love, joy, and inclusiveness, and gradually transform anger, violence, and fear that lie deep in my consciousness. So in particular today, with the beginning a new ceremony, this I think addresses the sentence, I will speak and listen in a way that can help myself and the other person to transform suffering and see the way out of difficult situations. So we might hear that line and say, okay, how is that? How would I do that? How would I speak and listen in a way that can help myself and the other person transform suffering? Most of us aren't taught how to do that in school or anywhere else. So So one way to learn this is the beginning a new ceremony. And you have a handout, but I was a little bit, you know, I don't want you to like be reading the handout, except I'll tell you when you can reference it, and then you can take it home and read it. I just wanted you to have something to take home. So this is a, it's called a ceremony, although it's a little bit of like an informal ceremony. And it's really a way to look to do this, to look deeply at ourselves and our past actions, speech, and thoughts, and to begin anew. That's why it's called beginning anew. In Thich Nhat Hanh's community, they practice this as a group once every 2 weeks. So they meet, you know, as a group, and then if there's some difficulty, like someone had a difficulty with another Sangha member, they would say, "I'd like to do beginning anew with this person," and the two people, you know, kind of come to the center and do the beginning anew. So you can look now at the four, kind of at the middle of the page. It says there's like four bullet points, four numbers, starting with flower watering. So this is the process. So someone would start and they would do flower watering first. And oh, let me also say, you can just do flower watering. And this is, we use this in the Teacher Rio, the teaching group. We meet every 2 weeks for a leadership meeting. And at the beginning of the meeting, we do flower watering. We have a lot of things to talk about, so we don't have time to do flower watering for each person, but we rotate it. So whosoever person's turn it is, we get some flowers, and we set them in front of that person. So like it was Kyoku the other week, set them flowers in front of her, and then everyone waters her flowers. So like what, you know, what we appreciate about her, something she did that we noticed that was helpful, some quality that she has that is beneficial to the community or that makes us feel happy. And we just do the flower watering. And we've found that it really is transformative to feel that. And it's interesting. I think the very first time that I proposed doing it and I said, well, you know, I'm okay, you don't have to start with me, we'll just, you know, but they said, no, let's start with you. And it's like, just okay, and I felt so supported. I already thought I felt supported enough, so I didn't think I needed it, but it was really interesting. So, and it says here, it's an opportunity to shine light on the other strengths and contributions. It says contributions to the Sangha, but you can use it in your families. You can use it, you know, in a one-to-one relationship. So it's just shining the light on them. So if you were doing it with one person, like one-to-one, you would start with just the flower watering. The person who's listening, who's receiving, just receives. So that's another important thing. So sometimes, you know, you want to say like, oh, well, yeah, I'm good at that, but you know, I don't even have to work very hard. You know, like that doesn't count. You know, you want to, sometimes that happens where you feel like it's kind of, you can't take it in. You want to deflect it. When something positive is coming to you, it's too much. But instead, you just take it in. So your job is to listen when you're the listener and the and just let the speaker speak. And then the next step would be sharing regrets. So first I might say, here's what I appreciate about you. This is, you know, what I noticed that you do, a quality that you have that is helpful. And then the next thing might be, here's something that I did that wasn't helpful in our relationship or in our family or in the Sangha or in this group, whatever the situation is where you're practicing it. You know, something you did that was unskillful and that maybe you haven't had a chance to apologize yet for, or maybe you feel like you haven't been able to apologize fully. So then you can say that. And then the next thing would be, if you're doing the full beginning anew, would be expressing a hurt. And so that's where you would share, here's you know, when you did this, that I felt hurt. So something that the person did or said that you felt hurt by. And so you're not blaming them, you're just expressing that this is what happened. And as I said here, you know, so usually this expressing a hurt step is done more in the one-on-one, although sometimes in Thich Nhat Hanh's community they do it in a group, but, you know, they're living together. It's in a monastic setting. So, but if you had a group that you were really intimate with, it might work, and to feel the support of the group. And because the group is often affected by a conflict between two people, so sometimes it's really helpful for a group to hear that. And sometimes, even if it's just one person, you might ask someone else to witness, to be there. So we've used that here at Clouds and Water, where someone has said, well, I'd like to do this, whether we do the beginning anew or do it as a council practice. But, you know, it's the same principle of just deeply listening, speaking one person at a time, and having a witness present. And then the fourth step, if you do the fourth step, would be asking for support. So so that might be, sometimes it's like the hurt that you experienced is because of something in your past. So like just using an example, I know I have a friend who said, was very often hurt when her husband was late for an appointment or meeting her or whatever. And she realized that when she was growing up, because her parents and many of her parents' friends were involved in a lot of political protests, and sometimes people were late and then they didn't come home because they were in jail or they were injured or something happened. So like that made a deep impact on her as a child, and then it carried forward. So when she expressed the hurt, like, you know, you were late the other day and I felt hurt that you didn't call and tell me, then she also could say, you know, this thing, there is this thing from my past where I know it's not true in the present, but still it affects me. And so it really is important if you call me. And can you please call me if you're going to be late? Would you be willing to do that? So that's like the asking for support part, is might connect it to a past, you know, deeper hurt, and then ask for something that you would like. Or you might just, you know, you might not have a specific request there. You might just say, here's a difficulty. This is why it's difficult for me. This is why it's especially difficult for me. And maybe the other person would have an idea of what could help. They could offer something. So that's kind of the main framework of the whole beginning anew. And you can imagine that, you know, if you do this and really are listening deeply and speaking from the heart, that it can be transformative. And I use this, I teach this when I work with couples where I'm doing pre-marriage counseling. Instead of a more traditional conflict resolution model, which, I don't know, the one I was taught through a program that I use has something like, each person lists the way they've contributed to the problem, and then you get together and brainstorm solutions, and then you make a plan for how you're going to do it, which sounds to me like workplace, you know. It's like, I don't know if that works for relationships as well. I think this works a lot better, so I teach this. And just say, practice it even when you're not in a high conflict situation, so you get used to this is how it goes. So then when you're in a high conflict situation, you can use it. But even if you didn't have a chance, if you have the paper, you could have it in front of you. But I've also added some extra steps. And when I've seen it done in Thich Nhat Hanh's community, they just kind of go through. Like the person who's speaking just does the flower watering and then does the sharing regrets and then expresses a hurt and then asks for support. And the person who's listening is just listening and not even saying anything. So I've suggested that sometimes it's helpful if at each step you stop and the person who's listening can say, I heard you say that you really appreciate my taking out the trash every week. Or I heard you say that you really appreciate when I do the dishes, or that you really, you know, you like the way that I'm deeply listening to other people in the family, or whatever. So then you actually say back what you heard. at each step. And of course, saying back, it might be, you know, for the flower watering, maybe like you leave something out. And then the person says, well, you know, I did also say that you were good at this. And then you realize, oh, I didn't take that in. So that, you know, reflecting back is good. Or at the step of expressing a hurt, sometimes you hear it differently because you're reacting inside. And then if you have to reflect back what you heard, the person could say, no, that's not exactly what I said. This is really, you know, what I want you to hear. And then the other thing that I felt is really important is a response. And especially if the person asks for support, the other person who's listening might say, yes, I can do that. So they have a chance to respond. Or they might say, well, no, I don't think I can do that, but here's what I could do instead. Or no, I can't do that right now. I'm really sorry. It's you know, what's going on with me. I love you and I want to support you, but what you're asking is just a little too much, so I wonder what else we could do. So there is a chance to kind of have a little back and forth. But the important thing is that back and forth doesn't happen until after the person who's speaking first feels really heard. You don't get into problem solving right away. First, you're just listening deeply. All right, let's see. So, am I going to have volunteers to demonstrate it? Yeah? Okay. I asked my family to. We've used this in my family, although we don't use it a lot, but Rob and Seamus have agreed to kind of demonstrate how it would work. So maybe bring up two chairs. There's a chair right there. How about you can be like right in front of me? So I'll be the witness, the silent witness.
Or you could be a guide and kind of
talk. Yeah, well, you can keep that in your hand.
The process.
So sometimes, you know, like I said, you would sometimes have flowers, so we can just, you know, we don't have a table, so we'll just imagine the flowers. You could light a candle, you could have a bell. So you can sort of add as many elements as would be helpful. But it can also be really informal, and it can be done even like sitting on a park bench or going for a walk or like that, or at the dinner table. So anyway, all right.
So would you like us to do it as one of us does all the way through the...
Why don't you try pausing in between and let the other person reflect what they heard?
Okay. All right. I will try to be brief, which I'm not always good at. I have such profound admiration for you that it's hard for me to know where to begin. In recent weeks, I've really felt like you have impressed me all the more. Been going through the college search process and doing a lot of traveling. I have felt very fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time with you where we've traveled together on a college trip and have had opportunities to have conversations lately, long conversations, or just to be silent and be together. And I've really, I've been reminded of your wisdom, your kindness, your ability to just kind of be with other people, people you don't know at all, and just kind of listen to them very, very deeply and then respond back to them in very, very wise ways. I think that you have a heart that I aspire to, being my heart being as strong as yours. I'll respond if you'd like to, or if you want me to keep going.
So if you can just reflect what you heard, maybe.
Well, I heard that in the college search process that we've been in. By the way, this will come up a lot, and I don't know where I'm going to college. You're not all asking me afterwards. I heard that you've really admired how I'm able to talk to new people and just kind of take that in. And that you've really appreciated being with me and traveling together. Should I go?
No. You keep going. You'll just be reflecting back what you heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we might only have time to do one.
That's why I wanted him to go. I regret that I am not conscious enough sometimes of how much pressure you are under, and that I will sometimes say things that I think are being helpful, but I'm not being cognizant enough of that in the context of your day. For example, you come through the door, and I'm thinking of an example from this week. You come through the door, and I say, hey, there's this professor that you met with before, with an ensemble that he leads, and they're going to be in our neighborhood in a few weeks. And maybe you want to make contact again and see about talking to a student or two from that ensemble. And you really, it was the wrong time to say it. It was a time when you felt under a lot of pressure, and I needed to be more aware that that you could see it as in some way being too strong in my role here as someone who's trying to be the wind at your back, not the spit in your face.
Inside joke.
That I really want to be more cognizant of times when you need to have I need to be more sensitive to the idea of that there's pressure on you, and that you can sometimes see that as judgment, that you are not doing enough or anything like that, which is never my intention, but I need to be conscious of that. So I will endeavor to be more aware about that.
Well, I heard that you feel you need to be cognizant of how much pressure I'm under, and that not every time is a good time for me to hear about new information, because it can make me feel that I have a responsibility to do something or aren't doing enough.
I want to pause for a minute here to just point out that what Seamus just did was exactly right. And sometimes doesn't happen, because sometimes what happens at that point is the person might say, well, no, really, that was okay when you I understand, you're thinking, so this isn't the time, so this is really the time to just receive, let the person say that they're sorry and not make excuses for them. I mean, later you can respond and maybe say that, but to really give it space, So I just want to point out that that's what's happening here. Okay, thanks. You can keep going.
expressing a hurt is a harder thing for me to find. I guess I think that I don't think hurt is necessarily how I would describe it, but I would say that when you do respond strongly and negatively when I say something, that I think I'm trying to be helpful. It stems from what I said there, that I wasn't being cognizant enough. But if you kind of speak sharply to me and express anger, then it hurts me. I just think at those times I really wish we didn't have to be embracing anger as part of the exchange.
So I heard that while under pressure, I can respond with anger, which I do recall, and that this can hurt you, and that I should be more conscious of that, and try to have my response not be as, I guess I want to say reactionary, but that I should keep in mind where you're coming from, and that you are actually trying to help me. That wasn't exactly how you said it.
So I'm actually going to stop it there, because I think in a way you sort of did ask for support too.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to have time for questions. But then I also want to have, so now would be a chance if you want to respond. So now you can respond with your own thing, not just reflecting back. So if there's anything you want to say in response, and then we'll close.
So when I respond in this way, and I should respond in a more skillful way, sometimes when thinking about it, I feel selfish. Because it feels like you're supporting me and helping me, which I really love. And at the same time, I'm not accepting your help. So, or I'm not accepting your help at that point in time. So I wanted to express that regret and mention that that had been on my mind.
So if we were, you know,
yeah,
okay. Yeah, that worked. So if we were doing, you know, a full expression of this, then maybe Seamus would also do the full thing. But since we, you know, I want to just, we have a few minutes for questions. I want to make sure we have time for that.
You
so
have a nice beard.
So thank you so much for sharing your hearts with us. I feel like they should get a round of applause for me. So we just have a few minutes, but are there questions or comments or observations around this process? I didn't say it, but you know, you can actually use this even if the other person doesn't know that you're doing it. You know, so. Yes.
I just
Trojan.
Wanted to say, my husband and I went to this beginning a new workshop.
I did it about a year ago, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really powerful. And I do the do it a lot, like the flower watering thing, and especially that. And it's just helpful. It's just been really helpful to me and to him. And because sometimes there's the focus on, it's like I notice first, like, what's wrong? So I want to go, you know, and it's much more helpful to, you know, start with a flower watering. So thank you.
Yes, Stu.
Seamus, how did it feel to have your father talk to you in that fashion, talking about what he appreciated about you?
That was fine. It's not like we don't compliment each other outside the
sure.
And it's not like we don't also mention regrets or hurts outside this scenario, but it was very helpful to do it in this scenario because it's kind of all out there rather than just in pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a question. In a work situation, I tried to address a misunderstanding,
mm-hmm.
and I tried with the flower watering. I mean, I didn't know the system at the time, but I tried with the sandwich method, the flower watering, and the sharing the regrets, and it got stuck. In my sharing the regrets, it came about, it turned into what I had done wrong.
Oh,
so,
uh-huh.
Not that I didn't do anything wrong, but it was stuck there.
Right.
It didn't achieve any,
right.
any movement forward.
Yeah.
So do you have any suggestions?
Well, my guess is it probably got stuck there because the person wasn't deeply listening to you. They weren't just receiving it. They were wanting to pile on then, right? They were wanting to come back with, yeah, that's right, you did that, and that was really bad. Rather than, like, hearing, really deeply hearing you. So it's hard. It's a lot harder if the other party isn't, you know. And maybe you can't, you know, maybe there's, it's limited how you can move it. And maybe it takes more time to just, and to really, to know that if they're coming back at you, then they, you know, really, so then you could come back again to say, yeah, I can see that you were really hurt by that. Mm-hmm. And until they feel like they were heard. And then you could maybe say, you know, I have something too. I have a hurt too. Would you be willing to listen? You know, could I share that with you? So sort of ask permission first. That would be, but it, you know, it might not be able to be untangled. Sometimes things can't be. So. Mm-hmm. We're just about, we are out of time. So thank you very much.
May.